Good evening. Glad to have everyone out on a beautiful Lord's Day evening. The thunder, the lightning, the rain. I told Jennifer years ago that we would never again complain about rain because we have a well. And so if you understand that, you never complain about the rain. And as beautiful as everything around us is, we can thank the rain and God's graciousness in giving us that so that we can enjoy His creation. Glad to have everyone out this evening. I know our crowd is a little bit smaller, and I am honored to be able to spend a few minutes speaking with you this evening and leading our thoughts. I'd like for us to think for a few minutes tonight about the term happiness. Happiness. Happiness is very elusive. If you look at our world and you look at society, people are searching for happiness in so many different ways. And some of them are desperately searching in ways that are guaranteed to bring anything but happiness. Some look in the bottom of a bottle. Some look in a pill bottle. Some look at alcohol. Some look at living a life that the world considers to be happy. And yet they never find it. If you were to Google the word happiness, as I did, you're going to find there are over 13.5 million entries on the internet just under the term happiness. And one would think by all the time, by all the devotion that people give to trying to be happy, they would find it. And yet when you look at the definition of happiness, it's defined strictly as, and I quote, "Happiness is a mental or emotional state of well-being defined by positive or pleasant emotions, ranging from contentment to intense joy. Happy mental states may also reflect judgments by a person about their overall well-being. A variety of biological, psychological, economic, religious, and philosophical approaches have striven to define happiness and identify its sources. Various research groups, including positive psychology and happiness economics, are employing a scientific method to research questions about what is happiness, how it might be attained. And you'll be happy to know that March 20th has been designated by the United Nations as International Day of Happiness to recognize the relevance of happiness and well-being as universal goals." Happiness. Tonight, I want us for a few minutes to explore, and I'm going to call it three simple reasons why we, as Christians, as the Lord's church, three reasons why we should be happy. Now, of course, if you know me, embedded within each of those reasons are some subpoints that we'll be covering. But there are three major reasons that I want us to think about being happy. And I'm going to give you those up front, and then we'll talk about each one individually. But they're simple enough. The first is the past. The second is the present. And the third is the future. Now, we could end right now, and every one of you would know what I meant, more than likely, by the past, the present, and the future. But as members of God's family, that's all we need. The past, the present, and the future define for us why we as Christians should be happy. And I want us to be happy. The Lord wants us to be happy. You see, when we start talking about the past, there's only one place that we can begin, and that is with Jesus' birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. And while we're not happy at what Jesus suffered on our account, we can be happy that He gave all that He had for us. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, as the birth of Jesus was foretold, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him.'" Verse 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, The star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding glad joy. The world, and especially these men, these wise men, knew that Jesus coming to earth, His birth, was a reason for us to celebrate, a reason for us to be joyous, a reason for us to be happy. And throughout His life, as we read in the Gospel, throughout Jesus' life, as He went and taught and healed and made people whole, He made people happy. Was everybody happy? No. Happiness is elusive. Let's remember that. We'll come back to that. But Jesus' life was all about bringing happiness by bringing salvation. I want you to think for a minute, before you were a Christian, I want you to think about, who was it that helped you to understand what you needed to do to become a member of God's family? I want you to think about who that was. Was it your parents? Was it a sibling? Was it a friend? Was it a Bible school teacher? Was it all the above? Who was that? You see, when we think about the past, and we think about our past, we think about who it was that gave us the hope, the good news, the gospel, that allowed us to know what to do to become a Christian. That's an important part of our past, and we should never forget that, because when you obeyed the gospel, where was their joy? Where was their rejoicing? Luke chapter 15:10 tells us there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When you went down into the waters of baptism and came up as a new creature, the angels in heaven rejoiced. There is joy in heaven because of your decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Brethren, that's a past that should make us happy. And we should think about that every day. We should think about the fact that Jesus came, that He lived, that He died, He was resurrected, that someone cared enough about you to tell you the good news. And that when you put on the Lord in baptism, you made the angels in heaven rejoice. What a wonderful opportunity for us, and one that we should never forget. And if we talk about the present, we say, what is it about the present that should make us happy? Well, first and foremost, as Christians, we are redeemed. We are free from sin. We are no longer held accountable to the sins in our life. In Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Part of our joy in the present needs to be that we are redeemed, that we no longer have to carry around the worry and the burden of sin. Part of the reason why we should rejoice and be happy in the present is that because we're part of the Lord's church, the Lord gave us an opportunity to help one another. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The fellowship that we have as members of the Lord's church is a reason for us to be happy. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weep. The fellowship that we have as the Lord's church is reason for us to be happy. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. The fellowship of the Lord's church teaches us and allows us to esteem one another. Look around, brethren. If at times you struggle with not being happy, then I would suggest that we have to do self-reflection and we have to say, what are we doing? You see, in the Lord's church, verse 4 of that same chapter in Philippians chapter 4 tells us, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, when we spend our time caring about each other, we find that we're happier. In Philemon chapter 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. See, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, John writes, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. As part of the Lord's church, one of the blessings that we have is the opportunity to serve. And I would suggest that if at times we don't feel fulfilled, if we don't feel our happiness meter as high as it should be, then the first place that we might want to look is what are you doing and what are we doing to help one another or to help somebody else. Opportunities to serve are one of the blessings and one of the reasons why we as the Lord's church should be a happy people. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I want every one of us, if we are candid and we reflect on our own lives, one of the happiest times in your life is going to be when you did something for somebody else, not when somebody did something for you. Because you can't outgive God. And when you give of yourself, when you give of your abilities, when you give of your talents, when you give of your love or compassion for someone else, that's when you get filled. Isn't it amazing how that happens? The more that you give, the more that you give of yourself, the more you get filled. That's one of the reasons why we should be reaching out to someone else. To the church in Galatia, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain to the Lord. You see, if we start thinking about somebody else, then we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. We stop wallowing in our self-pity. We stop thinking about how bad it is. And many thanks to Bobby for the songs that he chose for us to sing tonight. Count your blessings. It's impossible for you to not be happy when you count your blessings. It's impossible for you not to be happy when you're singing songs of praise to the Lord. These are things that we as members of the Lord's church have an opportunity each and every day. One of our greatest responsibilities, and I termed it a responsibility, not an opportunity, it's a responsibility, is to teach the truth. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, there's a passage about our Lord Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's you. That's me. We have a responsibility to teach the truth. Think back about when we talked about things in the past and why we're happy, why we should be happy. Because someone taught you. Someone cared enough about you to say, "I want you to know about Jesus. I want you to know how to be faithful." They cared enough about me. Shouldn't I care enough about them? Isn't that a responsibility that I have? How terrible is that if I take that wonderful blessing and I let it stop with me? We know that life is going to be challenging at times. We know that there are times where just don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." I heard somebody tell me not too long ago, be careful what you pray for. Don't pray for patience, because you might have a chance to get it. The testing of our faith produces patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." We have a comforter. We have someone that will help us to deal with what comes our way. And that leads us into the future. The reason the future is a reason for us to be happy is that God has assured us that He is with us all the way. As we heard this morning in our sermon, God is not different. Maybe it was in Bible class. God is not different today than He was with Job. God hasn't changed in 2016. And when God says He's going to be with us, He's going to be with us. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Another point in the future that needs to give us happiness is the reassurance that Christ is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." John chapter 14 reassures us that we have a home reserved in heaven. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation chapter 3 and 5, we have reassurance that Jesus has written our names in the book of life. So the past, the present, and the future. Three reasons why we should be happy. Christians should be the happiest people on earth. We should be radiant. We should be exploding with our joy and happiness because God has blessed us in so many ways, so much beyond what we deserve. We should show our happiness and enthusiasm in every single walk of our life. Day in and day out, wherever we come in contact with people, they should know that there's something different about you and me because we're Christians and because they're happy. How can they be happy when they see all these things going on? We can be happy because Jesus died for us. We can be happy because He gave us the church to work and to live and to thrive and to help one another. And we should be happy because if we live the way He wants us to live, we have an eternal home in heaven. A caution. We should never confuse being happy with emotionalism. Someone who demonstrates emotional behaviors doesn't translate to happiness. When we assemble together to worship God, we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. We should have reverence. We should have a fear for coming before God. But we should praise Him with glory. And we should be happy in our praise to Him in the way that He wants us to praise Him. Not in an artificial, not in an emotional, not in a false way. Our happiness translates into how we serve Him, and most importantly, how we let our light shine every single day. And brethren, I know I fall short. I don't do as I should do every day, all day, in letting my light shine. But I pray, and I hope that you'll pray, that as members of the Lord's church, we will renew our commitment that when people see us, they're going to see Christ living in us. And in doing that, they're going to see happy, motivated people, motivated by God's holy word, motivated by the fact that we have a hope and a peace that passes all understanding. There's no greater comment than when the world says, "I don't understand how you can be happy." Of course they can't. That's a peace that passes understanding unless you have given your life to be a faithful Christian in the service of our Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 is a wonderful passage for us to bring our thoughts to a close. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, happiness can be found only in Jesus Christ. The plea from Jesus is, open the door. Let me in. Our lesson tonight has talked about the blessings that we have as Christians, the blessings that we have as being members of the Lord's church. If you're with us tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to be happy. We want you to know the happiness that comes from having your sins forgiven. We want you to know the happiness that you can create in heaven tonight by becoming a Christian. We want you to know the happiness that you can have in this present day to cast your cares aside because Jesus will forgive you. Jesus will walk with you. And we want you to know the happiness that members of the Lord's church have in knowing that when life on earth ends, we'll be with Jesus forever. In order to become a member of the Lord's church, you've heard the gospel. We want you to understand you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. And when you rise up out of those waters, you've been forgiven of everything in your life that's sinful. And the angels in heaven will rejoice. We'll rejoice with you. And we ask that you consider, come and put on Jesus tonight. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you've forgotten what it's like to be happy, then we ask you to reflect on your life. We should be the happiest people on earth. And if you're not happy, then we're going to pray that you come forward and you let us pray for you and you let us help you. You help us. We'll help each other go to heaven. If you need to respond to the invitation, come now as together we stand and sing. There's a mountain.